Behold means see. If I say, behold, see, all things has become new. So God is saying, see it. All things has become new.
Pastor Benga's teachings constantly remind me of who I am in Christ. And now I can live every day of my life in that consciousness.
Pastor Benga's message has been precise and understandable for me. It has helped me understand and see God's plan towards my finance.
You're about to listen to a message by Pastor Olu Benga Taiwo, brought to you by Justified House Media. We know that you'll be blessed as you open your heart to receive God's words.
Quickly, Daniel chapter 7. Verse 9. I'll just go straight from verse 9 straight to 14. Okay, I read. He says, so this was Daniel having a revelation. He had a vision. He says, I beheld, so the thrones were cast down, and the Ancient of Days did sit, whose garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head like the pure wool. His throne was like the fiery flame, and his wheels as burning fire. So he was describing the Ancient of Days. This is God the Father, praise the Lord, who was on his throne. And he was describing the throne. The throne was of fiery flame. Verse 10 says, a fiery stream, that means water, but this one, the water was like fire. It says, issued and came forth from before him, and thousands of angels, this way of angels, ministered unto him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the judgment was set, and the books were opened. And I beheld them because of the voice of the great words which the horn speak. He was speaking about the Antichrist and all. Let's go to verse 13 quickly, because I'm not teaching about Antichrist. Verse 13 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. And there was given him dominion, glory, a kingdom, that all people, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed. So Daniel saw a vision. He saw a vision, and he saw a man in heaven. Praise the Lord. He saw a man in heaven. The Son of Man means he saw a man in heaven, and this man was crowned. There is no man in heaven before that time. There was no man in heaven. There were angels, spirit beings. But for the first time, he saw a man. And that this man, they put a crown. The God himself, who is the Ancient of Days, God Almighty, put a crown upon this man in heaven. That all nations, everybody should serve him. All dominion, all glory, all power be given to this man. A man, not a spirit. Praise the Lord. A man. So, this verse, or these verses that was written about 1,000 years before Jesus Christ came, a lot of, with studies, a lot of Pharisees and Sadducees, they were expecting this man to come. This was the Messiah. Because their time, the Israelites, they were suffering from Romans, so they were expecting someone who has all authority, who has all. So when they saw Jesus appeared on the scene, his father was a carpenter. His mother was not anything to write. Not that she was from a wealthy home or anything. And then this man began to say, I am the Son of Man. He used the exact words that were written in the book of Daniel, saying, I am the Son of Man. Saying, I am the Messiah. you know, speak. So they were like, this man is speaking blasphemous words. Do you know who you, who do you think you are? They became so angry with him, even with the miracles, because they were like, Moses did miracles. We had other people, Elijah, we had Elisha did miracles, but nobody said they were the Son of Man. Nobody said they were the Messiah. Everybody was still expecting the Messiah. But you said you are the Messiah. You are the one who is to come, who is to take all dominion, all glory, everything that will be given to him. This is blasphemy. And they were so angry till they killed him. Praise the Lord. And they didn't know that the book of Isaiah had prophesied that this same Messiah, he will be hated without a cause. He will be killed by his own people. David had said it in the book of Psalms. I believe it's Psalms 8. Let's look at the book of Psalms, chapter 8. Is this Psalms 8 or Psalms? Give me a minute, please. Sorry, that would be Psalm 18. I missed the one in front of it. That will be Psalms chapter 18. Should be Psalms chapter. Okay, Psalms chapter 22, sorry. Psalms chapter 22. Psalms chapter 22, if we look at verse 6, almost everything that Psalms chapter 22 speaks about, the suffering of Jesus. It says, but I am a worm, verse 6, and no man, a reproach of men, and despised of the people. Verse 7 says, all they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot up out the lip. They shake their head, saying, he trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. Praise the Lord. If you look at verse 13, let's go to verse 13. It says, they gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. Verse 14, I am poured out like water. And all my bones are out of joints. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws. Thou hast brought me into the dust of death. For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture. Praise the Lord. So you can see these were prophecy about Jesus. It was written thousands of years ago that they pierced his hands and his feet. And that was exactly what they did. They parted his garments and they cast lots. That was exactly what the soldiers did. So they were doing things to fulfill the scriptures. You know, and they didn't know. And the disciples, the disciples who were so exciting, followed him all around, thinking that, okay, yes, this is our Messiah. He has really come. The Peter, John that some of us know about today, they were not like that. They were following him that, one day he's going to defeat the Romans. One of these days he's going to defeat the Romans. You know, but when it happened that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus Christ. And they were thinking, don't worry, Jesus Christ will fix himself.
to the extent that they saw him condemned, and they saw him being taken to be crucified, and they now saw him crucified. Praise the Lord. Hanging on the cross, you know, saying, my God, why have you left me alone? Suddenly it dawned on them that these are Savior that we think he is or something. He's actually going to die. And then imagine what could be going on in their mind. Oh, we thought he's the Messiah. We thought he's the one that will come, you know, take over the land, take back all the things we own, you know, I mean, all the things which we've owned from the government, fix things, you know, just as people think today. Now, if there was really God as there is, I mean, things, governments, or, you know, people in government should not be doing what they are doing. We should have good roads. We should have things. Things should be going well for everybody. And things is definitely not going well for everybody. Praise the Lord. Just like what people were thinking in their days, that, oh, if the Messiah should come, it will fix everything. Everything physically. But he died. And the Bible says that when he died, what happened when he died? You know, we have some, I think, I don't know if they are Jehovah's Witness, that don't believe in hell. They don't believe in hell. The fact that somebody doesn't believe in a particular thing doesn't mean that thing doesn't exist. It's just like if someone should say, I don't believe there is sun. This one, it's not us. I don't believe there is a sun. It doesn't mean that there is no sun. Praise the Lord. I don't believe there is sun. So your own belief doesn't change the facts, or doesn't change some facts, especially facts that are already established. So someone saying, I don't believe in hell, I don't believe there is God, is to the person's detriment. So look at the book of Acts chapter 2, 29 to 31. Acts chapter 2. So Peter was preaching, and Peter was talking to people here. What happened after Jesus Christ died? What actually happened to Jesus Christ? During those 3 days, is it that Jesus Christ just died, just laid on the floor, and after 3 days just got up? What actually happened? Acts chapter 2, 29. I mean, 20. Let me start from verse 25. So he was speaking of the Psalm of David. Verse 25 says, for David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover also, my flesh shall rest in hope, because you will not leave my soul in hell, neither will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. That means the body to be decayed. I know there was a day I thought about this, that, wow, Jesus' body never decayed. This is what the word says. It says you will not allow the body to decay. That word corruption is decay. And it says you will not allow my soul to be left in hell. That means he went to hell, but he is saying that you will not allow my soul to be left in hell. Verse 28 says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with your countenance. Now, he wanted to explain this verse that was spoken in the book of Psalms that David said. Verse 29 says, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he is both dead and buried, and his sepulcher, that means his grave, is with us today. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him, that of the fruit of his loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne, he, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see what? Corruption. So it is established here that what? Jesus went to where? He went to hell. So after Jesus Christ died, when Jesus Christ died, his body did not just lay there with his soul inside his body. Nor did he just die and his soul just went straight to heaven. No. After he died, the place he went to hell. And why did he go to hell? Who can answer that question? Why did he go to hell? Why did Jesus Christ go to hell? Was it to defeat the devil? Why did Jesus Christ go to hell, Elijah? After he died. Eh? Why do you think he went to hell? Don't worry. It's a church. I'll correct you. To collect or something like that. To conquer debts. Oh, okay. All right. Sister Blessing, why did Jesus Christ go to hell? You don't know. Why did Jesus Christ go to hell? You don't know. Why did Jesus Christ go to hell? Wow. Why did Jesus Christ go to hell? What's your name, brother? Huh? Henry. Okay, brother Henry. And brother Emmanuel. So why did Jesus Christ go to hell? Okay. So now let's go to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So from today, you understand why Jesus Christ went to hell. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. Now, that he there is God. So he, that means God has made him, that him is Jesus, to be what? Sin for us. Would you know sin? Right? So God made Jesus Christ to be sin for you and I. Are you getting what I'm saying? He did not know any sin. So God made him to be sin. He became sin. He did not just carry sin. He became sin for us. He was the definition of sin for us. It says, and wouldn't you know sin, that we might be the righteousness of God in him. So Jesus Christ took our place. Amen. Also, when you see the book of Romans, let me also use the book of Romans. Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. Let's look at verse 3. It says, know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of resurrection. Let's look at verse 6. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Praise the Lord. So what is this place letting us understand? We were sin. We were sinners. We had sin in us from Adam, because of what Adam did. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. It says, through one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. So everybody in this world is born as a what? As a sinner. Do you understand what I'm saying? Everybody in this world was born into this world as a sinner. Through natural birth, when your mom gave birth to you, you were born as a sinner. You were not born righteous because of what Adam did. Praise the Lord. Because of what Adam did. So everybody, as they were being born into this world as sinners. So if everybody were being born as sinners, and sinners don't go to heaven, according to the word, the Bible says that our righteousness is as filthy rag before God. Your best, your best good work outside of Jesus Christ is as filthy rag before God because of the sin nature of man. So Jesus Christ took our place. He became sin. And so, because everybody are sinners, we're supposed to go to hell, right? To suffer for their sins. If somebody dies a sinner today, the person will go to hell. Why? To suffer for his sins. To pay for his sins. Because the devil is there. The devil has his angels. So he goes there. So in the same way, because Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself, Jesus Christ had to go to hell to pay for our sins. Do you understand that? It's just like somebody saying that, imagine you are supposed to go to, maybe you registered for a particular training, you paid the particular fee to go to it for that training. And you now call the boss and say, I will not be able to come. I want to send somebody on my behalf to come for that training. So the person is coming because of me, because he's taking my place. That was exactly what Jesus Christ did. So he went to hell. He took our place of sin. And he paid it in full. Praise the Lord. There is no time in hell. There's nothing like, in hell or in the spirit world, they are saying, it is 1 year, it is 2 years, it is 3 years. There is eternity in hell. There is no time. It is in this our world. The Bible said, let the sun and the stars and the heavenly bodies, let them be for time and season. It is in this world that there is, what's the name? There is sun, there is this, for time. In the spiritual world, there is no time. It's all in eternity. So when Jesus Christ went to hell, Jesus Christ went there and paid for our sins eternally. Glory to God. Our sins were paid for eternally. And he paid for the sins of everybody. Even those that are unborn today. Those that died before he died. He paid. He paid in full. The Bible said he went to the end of the ages in the book of Hebrews to pay for everybody's sin. So that was why he went to hell. And when he paid for everybody's sin, he could what? Man now has authority over the devil. Because formerly, before Jesus Christ died and went to hell and paid for their sins, man was owing the devil. Man was a debtor to the devil. Man was a debtor to the devil. Man was a slave to the devil. So, but now Jesus Christ went there. Just like, imagine someone was owing money. The person is a debtor. Then someone came and paid in full for all the things that the person was owing. The person is no longer a debtor. The person is free. So that was exactly what Jesus Christ went to do. He paid for everybody's sin. The sins and the consequences of sin. What do we mean by consequences of sin? It means the resultant effects of sin. Let me ask. I want you to meditate. If Adam had not sinned, would there be sickness today? Huh? There will not be sickness. When God created Adam and Eve, were there sickness? There were no sickness. There was no poverty. They lived in abundance. So sickness, poverty, pain, griefs, they are resultant effects of sin. Jesus Christ went, when he went to hell, he paid for sin and all its effects through his sacrifice. Praise the Lord. So when people receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, sometimes all the thing that is in their mind is, I'm going to heaven. It's bigger than that. It's much more than that. You have to understand these things that I'm teaching you today. That Jesus Christ paid for your sins. He paid and the resultant effects. One doesn't have to get to heaven for his sins to be forgiven. There are people today that think they have to get to heaven. It is when they get to heaven, their sins will be forgiven. At that time, it will be too late. Jesus Christ paid for the sins. I mean, in his death, he had already paid. So we don't have to get to heaven to know that, oh God, please, would you forgive me? Would you not forgive me? No. Eternal life starts from now. Praise the Lord. Eternal life starts from now. When one receives Jesus Christ, he receives eternal life in his spirit. So when you're looking about that Romans chapter 6, I believe it's verse 6, that says that our old man might be crucified with him. Man is a spirit. Man is not the body. Man is a spirit. So that old man that he's talking about there, where is it? Knowing that our old man is our old spirit, might be crucified with him. So when Jesus Christ was crucified, our old spirit was put to death. We became new beings. We became new creation. Amen. You have a new spirit. When you became born again, God gave you a brand new spirit. God did not give you a refurbished spirit. You know, sometimes when you have a house, you say, oh, I just want to refurbish the house. I just want to refurbish. And some people think that, you know, Christians are refurbished people. Christians are not refurbished people. Praise the Lord. Christians are new creatures. They are new creatures, new beings, new species. Praise the Lord. So when you became born again, God gave you a brand new spirit. Say, I have a brand new spirit. Yes. So God gave you a brand new spirit that is not stubborn. You know, some people, you say, this person is just so stubborn to God. God gave you a brand new spirit that is not stubborn to the Lord. Amen. That is open to doing the biddings of God. Praise the Lord. All right. So when Jesus Christ went to hell, the Bible said that he paid for our sins. And when he had paid for our sins in full, he defeated Satan. Praise the Lord. Tell someone Jesus Christ defeated Satan. Yes. So after he paid for our sins, Jesus Christ defeated Satan. It is said in the book of Ephesians. I'm trying to look for that place where he said he made naught the principalities and powers. There's a place there where he said he made naught the principalities or the principalities and powers. Let me look for that place. I'll see it. Give me a minute. Colossians. Okay, Colossians 2:15. Sorry, I thought it was Ephesians. It says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Praise the Lord. Jesus Christ, after he paid in full for our sins, you know, that word spoiled is just like when they go to war. You know, when people go to war, when they go to war, they would, when the person that win, the king that win, they will parade the king of the land that was defeated. And then all the things they have, the king and the people, they will start carrying everything on their head, taking them to the town of the town of the king who has just won. Carrying them, even you see the king, you know, such a shameful thing. So in that way, that is what is called, they are spoiling they've spoiled the other community. So he says, and having spoiled principalities and powers. That was when he went to hell. So when he went to hell, when Jesus Christ went to hell, when he defeated, when he paid for our sins, he paid for all our sins, the sickness, every single thing. After he did that, just say that what? God made him a son again. Remember, he was sin. And as sin, he couldn't do anything. God made him a son again. That's the book of Hebrews. Where's the place? Hebrews chapter 1. I believe it's chapter 1, right? a lot of places says that. Is it Hebrews chapter 1? Okay, Hebrews chapter 1 verse 6. It says, and again, when he bringeth in the begotten into the world, he saith, and let all the angels of God worship him. No, it's not this. Verse 5. It says, for unto which of the angels saith he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you. And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Let's go to the book of Romans. The book of Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I believe verse 3. Let's look at verse 3 to 4. It says, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the flesh, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Verse 4 says, which I want to go. It says, and declared to be a child of God, the son of God, with power according to the spirit of holiness through the resurrection from the dead. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus Christ was raised again to life, that moment he became a child of God. He became a son of God. He had authority over the devils. And it was through that he spoiled principalities, he spoiled powers, according to Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, we saw. Praise the Lord. The Bible says all principalities and powers, he made a shoe of them over them. I mean, he spoiled all of them. He defeated all the devils. You know, there are people who are afraid of devils today. They talk about, you know, there are people that talk about, oh, you know, this kind of devil, maybe, oh, I don't talk like this, so that the devil will not hear. You know? Don't talk like this so that the devil will not hear. Or something, so that the devil will not hear. Or maybe this person went to the devil. I don't know what will happen. They are so afraid of the devil. But this is why this message is coming to you today. That Jesus Christ, the Bible says, Colossians 1:15, can you put it up? He spoiled all principalities. He didn't just defeat them and just left them alone. The Bible said he spoiled all principalities and power. Amen. The devil had been defeated long time ago. Jesus did this over 2,000 years ago. Imagine, I want to tell you something. Imagine you're watching football. For some of us here that love watching football, imagine you're watching a football match. And give me one match that was just played that you already know the score. Can someone give me one match? Who watches match here now? Give me one match that was just played that you already know the score. Don't say all of you are like Pastor. Okay. 3-3. Okay, good. Who scored first? Okay, Southampton. Sorry, I don't know how to pronounce it. Southampton. Who scored second? Okay, Arsenal. Who scored? Okay, they scored, so it was 2-0, right? Okay, good. 2-1, 3-1, 3-2, 3-3, good. Now, let's say you're watching the match today. Like you're watching, someone else is watching it, and you are now there. And the person said, Statham scored the first one. Statham scored the second one. Say, Statham has won this match. You know, that's what, you know, that you just be looking at the person that, what is wrong with this person? This match has been played this month, and maybe the person isn't like, I want to have a heart attack. Maybe the person even went to do bet Nijabi. What is it called, this thing? Bet stops to a hand. Maybe he had now bet that, maybe Statham would, no, Arsenal would win the match. You understand? Or, you know, and then it was 2-0. And it just collapsed. So, bros, I'm finished. These people, what is wrong with them? You know, and you just be there saying that, what is wrong with you? This match had been played maybe 2 weeks ago or 1 week ago. They didn't win. And you'd be like, you know, if you are watching the match now, you'd be like, you already know the score. Praise the Lord. There was one movie I was watching. And I quickly watched the end. And I saw that The guy that was thinking that probably will shoot him and they will kill him, the guy survived the movie. So when I went back to the beginning, I was just watching the movie because I know that. Do you understand what I'm saying? This guy survived. Oh, this trick that, the guy was just like this. So that is exactly how it is. What God wants to point our mind to. He wants our mind to be focused on this, that the defeat of Satan is not something that will happen. It's a past movie. It's a past match. It's something that has already been done. Praise the Lord. I'm only telling you, I'm only playing what has already happened. It's not going to change the facts. Praise the Lord. Some people want to have a heart attack because of maybe something that is just replaying. The Bible says that, you know, blessed be our God who always causes us to triumph. We triumph always. Praise the Lord. It doesn't matter what is thrown on us. Praise the Lord. See it from the victory side. See it that you've already won. Amen. You are not in the game to start fighting. No, the Bible said that in Colossians chapter 1, verse 15. Is it Colossians 1:15? We saw it, that Christ has already spoiled all principalities and powers. It's already been done. Praise the Lord. It's already, tell someone, it's already been done. It's too late for me to lose. Yeah, hallelujah. So it's too late for you to lose. As a Christian, one in Jesus Christ, let's also look at the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1. Before I go to the book of Ephesians. This is getting very, very interesting. So, before I continue, there is something called before Jesus Christ, before he rose again, the Bible made it clear that nobody had seen God at any time. Praise the Lord. Nobody had gone to heaven. Well, aside from Elijah, aside from Enoch, aside from those two, there was no any other person, Abraham, any other person. Everyone went to the place of Abraham's bosom. If you learn from the story of Jesus Christ spoke a particular parable of a rich man who was in Abraham's bosom, and there was hell. Praise the Lord. There was hell. There was a rich man in Abraham. There was Abraham's bosom who had the righteous people were with Abraham. So nobody had gone to heaven because nobody could enter heaven on their own accord. They were not righteous. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus Christ died and when he defeated Satan, he took authority for man. All authority. I mean, the authority over the devil. He didn't have authority over heaven or all these things. But the authority over the devil, he took the authority because he had paid. Man is no longer in debt to Satan, even till today. Man does not owe Satan anything, not one dime. According to the word of God, Jesus Christ had paid for every man. He paid everything. So Satan, I mean, you don't owe Satan anything as a man. Praise the Lord. So when Jesus Christ, when he resurrected, he didn't just resurrect alone. The Bible said that all those who were with Abraham, all those who had died, who were with Abraham, in Abraham's bosom, all the righteous people, David, Samuel, every righteous person with Abraham, you know, every one of them they went together, they resurrected. Those who had died, they took their graves were opened. Let's look at the book of Matthew chapter 27. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. Let's look at that. Matthew chapter 27, verse 52. Verse 52 to verse 53, this place says, and the graves were opened, and many bodies of the saints which slept arose and came out of the graves after his resurrection, and went into the holy city and appeared unto many. Now, also, let's see the book of Ephesians chapter 4. So I will not just use one scripture. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 8. If you use several translations, but let me just use this KJV. It says, wherefore, he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Praise the Lord. That word captivity captive, if you use another translation, it means that led the men who were captives, who were with Abraham, he led them on high. Praise the Lord. So when he was entering heaven, when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, I skipped the place where he appeared to Mary Magdalene. He said, don't touch me because I'm here to go to my father. Praise the Lord. That's what he said when he first appeared to Mary. He said, go and tell my brethren that I'm alive. But he said, don't touch me. I'm yet, because according to the Jewish law, when the priest is to go into the temple, no woman should touch him. So he said, don't touch me. I'm yet to go. And of course, every natural man was even a sinner. He just became born again by his resurrection. So when he went to heaven now, he was not just going alone. The book of, let's also look at the book of Hebrews chapter 12. Or before we go to Hebrews chapter 12, let's look at the book of Daniel. Daniel chapter 7. That Daniel we were reading before. Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. Now we would understand what I was reading. Daniel chapter 7 verse 13. From verse 1. I mean from verse Daniel 7, 13, sorry. 13. He said, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the what? With the clouds of heaven. Clouds of heaven. These are not just natural clouds. These are people. Praise the Lord. And when you go to the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1. Hebrews 12, verse 1. The Bible says, study to show yourself approved. Hebrews 12, verse 1. You will see what it means, that cloud. It says, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. From Hebrews chapter 11, it gave us a lot of witnesses. It gave us Abraham, Joseph, Isaac. Was naming everything. So now he continues, says, wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with cloud of witnesses. So when Jesus Christ, when he rose again from the dead and was going into heaven, the Bible says in the book of, Psalms 24. Let's look at Psalms 24. Psalms 24. Psalms 24, verse 7. It says, this was also written about Jesus Christ, his resurrection. It says, lift up your heads, O ye gates. This was a statement by Jesus. Lift up your heads, O ye gates. Be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors. Which door on earth is everlasting? None. Hell is not even everlasting. The only doors that will be everlasting is in heaven. So when Jesus was coming in with a cloud of witness, it says, be lifted up. And he was talking to the everlasting doors, be opened. He says, and the King of glory shall come in. So this was a conversation. Someone was now asking, who is this King of glory? Who is this person? Probably because Jesus Christ was coming into heaven as a man. Jesus Christ was not coming into heaven as a spirit. As a man like you and I. So angels were surprised like, okay, a man is coming into heaven. This is another kind of creature. Who is this person? Who is this person that is saying, be ye open everlasting doors? And he says, this is the King of glory. He says, the other one says, the Lord strong and mighty, the Lord, mighty in battle. He says, lift up your heads, O ye gates, even lift them up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. He says, who is this King of glory again? He says, the Lord of hosts is the King of glory. This was a conversation that happened when Jesus Christ was entering into heaven. Praise the Lord. And remember, the host of Papa Abraham, Isaac, everybody were with him. Coming in, he had just defeated Satan for man. He was, the Bible says, let's look at the book of Acts. In fact, it's not even Acts. Let's look at John, because some of us here might not have looked at it. I've taught it before. But let's look at John, the book of John. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Just to see that Jesus Christ was flesh and bone. John chapter 20, verse 27. This was about verse 24 to 25. Talk about Thomas. Thomas was like, they told Thomas, Jesus Christ has risen again. We saw him. We touched him. And Jesus, no, they didn't touch him. Thomas was like, no, I cannot believe except I touch him. So now, Jesus Christ, after 8 days, appeared again in their midst. Then verse 27, then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, behold my hand, reach thither your hand, and trust it into my sight, and be not faithless, but believing. So he told Thomas, come and touch me. You can't touch his spirit. Nobody has touched his spirit. Nobody has even touched God. Jesus Christ, he said, come and touch me. Praise the Lord. He was saying that I am flesh and bones. Jesus Christ went to heaven as a man. That's something that I want you to take out of this service. Because there are a lot of people that think, oh, Jesus Christ is a spirit. No. Jesus Christ went to heaven as a man, as a full man. He is seated in heaven as a full man. That is what the word of God says. The Bible even says in John chapter 21, this is after he has resurrected. Look at what is in the verse 10. Look at verse 10. Verse 10 says, Jesus said unto them, bring up the fish which you have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, and 153. For there were so many that yet could not be broken. Verse 12 says, Jesus said unto them, come and eat. That means come and dine. And none of the disciples doth ask him, who are you? Knowing that it was the Lord. Then Jesus come and take bread and give them and fish likewise. So verse 14 says, this is now the third time Jesus showed himself to the disciple. After that, he was risen from the dead. So Jesus Christ was flesh and bones. Amen. And the Bible says in the book of Acts, let's look at the book of Acts. The book of Acts, Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, verse 9. This same thing about cloud. It says, and when he had spoken these things, I beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud, this cloud is not just normal cloud, cloud, he could have appeared maybe at normal cloud, but it was a cloud of witnesses, received him out of their sight. Praise the Lord. But I just fast forward, but let me go back to when he stepped into heaven, when Jesus Christ stepped into heaven with Papa Abraham, David, all of them at his back, on, you know, and the angels are like, who is this person? We have never seen a man before in heaven. Praise the Lord. Everybody has been coming to heaven. They are all spirit beings. Who is this? A man. You know, and of course, he was ushered in. And the book of, let's go to the book of Revelation. Revelation. Revelation gives us a big insight into what happened. Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I'll start from thank you, Jesus. Let me start from verse 6. for time's sake. It says, and I beheld this. So John had a revelation of what happened in heaven. He had a revelation. Verse 6 says, and I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, the angels, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into the earth. So just stop. Let me explain this. Now, we know that it says, stood a lamb. Definitely, you know, it was not an animal. The Bible says, John says that this is the lamp of God who takes away, he spoke to Jesus. This is the lamp of God who takes away the sin of the world. A lamp is something that was killed. That's what it's showing. It's just, it's just using an, what they call this English word, to explain that this is Jesus. Stood the lamp as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. So this person had the seven spirits of God upon him and in him. Praise the Lord. Verse 7 says, And this person came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. So we had God the Father sitting on the throne. I didn't even start from the beginning. You know, there are people that think Jesus is not God. Because, okay, we, like this word says, Jesus Christ was sitting, someone was sitting on the throne. God the Father, Almighty God was sitting on the throne. And then Jesus Christ was ushered in. You know, Jesus Christ is God. Let's look at the book of Second Timothy. You're going to see a lot of Bible scriptures today. Or 1 Timothy 3:16. He says, and without controversy. Now, what is controversy? Controversy is argument. I remember one particular day, I was in talk with someone who was probably a Jehovah Witness. And the person was trying to talk about, oh, Jesus is not God and stuff like that. And I tried explaining everything. I showed the person different scriptures while I was in school. So the Holy Spirit just brought this to my mind. So I said, what's the meaning of controversy? He said, argument. I said, do you know we're having controversy here? We're having argument here. He said, yes. So I said, okay, let's open to 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. And this place says, without argument. That means let us stop all arguments. It says, great is the misery of godliness. It's a misery. He said, God was manifest in the flesh. That means God was seen in the flesh. So I said, who is this God that was seen as a human being? It is Jesus. He says, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed unto the world, received up into glory. Who is this person? It is Jesus. Praise the Lord. So God, David said, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool. David said, the Lord said unto my Lord. That means God said unto God. Amen. God said unto God. Praise the Lord. It's a misery, but that is the truth. So how can there be? It's one God, but manifesting themselves in three different persons. God the Father, Jesus Christ, who is the Word, and the Holy Spirit. And it's still one God. You just have to believe. That's it. Praise the Lord. So now that I've explained that, going back to the book of Revelation chapter 5, where we were, Revelation chapter 5. So the Bible says here that God the Father was sitting on the throne. And then this lamp of God, this person came, who is Jesus, who has been resurrected. He came and he took the book out of the right hand of God the Almighty, God the Father, who was sitting on the throne. Remember, and God the Holy Spirit was upon him. So the three persons of God were present in that meeting. Do we understand? The Bible says the Holy Spirit was upon Jesus. And Jesus is God. And Jesus and who had the Holy Spirit went to take the books from God the Almighty, who was sitting on the throne, God the Father. Verse 8 says, and when he had taken the book, verse 8, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, you are worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for you were slain, and you have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every kindred, that means family, and tongue, that means languages, and people, and nation, and had made unto us, unto our God, king and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. So they were speaking to Jesus that you are worthy, O Lord, to take the whole glory, to take everything. If you look at verse 11, it says, and I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them were 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb, worthy is Jesus, that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as were in the sea and all that are in them, hear thy saying, blessing, honor, and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb forever and ever. You see, this was where he was crowned. This was the ceremony of our king. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This was the ceremony, the coronation ceremony of our Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Philippians chapter 2 summarizes it. Let's look at Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 8. It summarizes it. It says about Jesus. It says, being found in... Oh, let's go to verse 9. Verse 8 talks about that he is the one that died and everything. Verse 9 says, wherefore, because he died on the cross, you know, because of this, verse 9 says, wherefore God had highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Let's go to verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, like we saw in the book of Revelation, right? Of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. Verse 11 says, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Can you shout hallelujah? Praise the Lord. Every tongue, everything. That's what this verse says. At the name of Jesus. This is still very, very true. No devil, no demon can come against this. It's past victory. The victory is it's past. Amen. Yes. Hallelujah. It's past. It's something that has already been done. Remember the victory he had the authority he took over Satan for man is even different from this. This was his coronation. He was brought back because he lowered himself as a servant. That's what the Bible says in the book of Philippians. Lowered himself as a servant. He became a man. He became sin. So God had to exalt him back to God. Remember, God said, the Lord said unto my Lord. God spoke to him. He became a man. He became sin. So God brought him back as Lord over all. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now let's see the book of Ephesians. Some of you say, Pastor, when will these scriptures just end? Is someone saying that? No, thank you. Thank you for not saying that. Ephesians chapter 2. Well, let's start from Ephesians chapter. Let's start from Ephesians chapter. Where should I start from? Yeah, let's start from Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. So, the power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead was the power of the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us what who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principalities. Verse 21. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. How many of us believe this? That Jesus Christ, that Jesus Christ has been exalted far above all principalities, above all powers. How many of us believe it? Put your hand up if you believe it. All right. Now, I want to go to the next, to something else. Remember, I asked the question that why did Jesus go to hell then? And someone said, oh, maybe to collect keys of death, hell, and stuff like that. But you know that Jesus Christ went in our place, right? He went in our place. The Bible says we were with him. We are identified with Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ did not just go there because he's God. No, no. He went there for you. He did not just come on earth to just say, oh, I just want to show myself I am God. No, he doesn't need that. He is God. The reason he went there was for you. That's why he went there. So the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 2, that's in Ephesians chapter 2, verse, let's look at verse 5. Let's see verse 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 to 6. It says, even when we were dead in sins, God had quickened. This word quickened, if you can use another translation, is God had made us alive together with Jesus Christ. Are you seeing this? Together with Jesus Christ. You know, God had made us alive together with Jesus Christ. Where is it? Yes, made us alive with Christ. Even when we were dead in transgressions, it is by grace you have been saved. Can you go back to KJV? So God made us alive with Jesus Christ. Ha toko tagababae. Right? He made us alive with Jesus Christ. He says, by grace you have been saved. If you go to the next verse, look at the next verse. This is awesome. He says, and hath raised us up together and made us what? Sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. This is powerful. The day I meditated on this, I was boiling. I was like, wow. This is where I am seated. Because if you believe Jesus Christ is seated above all principalities, above all powers, above all demons, and the same Bible, just a few verses later, says, you too, that is where you are seated. Why can't you believe that? Why can't we believe that? Amen. Praise the Lord. And that's where you are. Your spirit being, your spirit, that is where your spirit is. You might look at yourself that, oh, I'm just here on earth. It's all about authority. It's where the authority is coming from. It's just like the authority of the governor. The governor can come here now. But when he speaks from the office of the governor. He speaks as if the thing is coming from Abeokuta. That is where he speaks. That's where the authority comes from. It comes from the office of the governor. This is what this place is also saying. Are you understanding what the Holy Ghost is telling you? He says, where you are seated, is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
I trust that you have been blessed. We love you to share your testimonies with us through our social media pages. You can also email us at justifiedhouseministries@gmail.com. You're invited to fellowship with us Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays 9 a.m. at Justified House Auditorium, Hamination, beside all your teaching hospital, Shagam, Ogun State, for a refreshing time with the Lord Jesus, near your family.